When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Overserved. Huge week in tennis. This is what we love when there's tennis being played daily. Different countries, different continents, all over the place. We had Doha, we had Rio, we had Los Cabos. The women were playing over in Dubai, too. So just a lot going on. Some real big names, upsets, huge matches. Getting right into it, obviously, in Doha, we had Mensik. Kind of the young phenom, the next guy up potentially, had a huge week, made it all the way to the finals, ran out of a little bit of gas, but, you know, beat your guy, Rublev, in two. So it just had a huge week over there.
Yeah, I mean, this was a week of breakouts. All of these players are just breaking out on the scene, including Mensik, like you mentioned. And he's such a fascinating, fun player to watch. He's a big guy. He's a powerful player. His game's really entertaining. He chose to play the first tournament, this Doha tournament. He chose this tournament. He said, I don't know what his strategy was, but he said, because he got a free iPhone. And that was the reason. I think it was a good strategy for him to just be like, all right, I'm going to go all in on this first tournament and show everyone what I've made of. And he absolutely did. Like you said, he beat Rublev. He had some pretty crazy matches. Kachanov very consistently, always, you know, gets to, he always, Kachanov is a player that wins the matches he's supposed to win. He always, when he's seeded in a tournament, he makes that seed. When a seed lower than him, is out of the tournament, he'll take the place of it. And so he did, he won the tournament. But Mensik, I think, kind of stole the show, and he's going to be a very popular player, I think. And it says a lot for the Czech Republic. The women in the Czech Republic have always produced just a huge amount of players. And now there's a handful of these young males from the Czech Republic. So I think it's really going to be fun to watch him. And I'm excited to see him at Indian Wells.
No, just imagine in your first ATP level tournament, you beat Andy Murray, Gael Monfils, Rublev in two, like we spoke about. And then you go to the finals, and obviously he still put on a great show that first set. He lost in a tiebreak. I think it was like 14-12. And I think that right there, Kachanov kind of just got on him after that. But yeah, an unreal tournament. Obviously he did. I mean, I can't even say he over exceeded expectations. He was incredible. So like you said, with, you know, Indy Wells coming up, I think it's going to be really competitive, really exciting, even more upsets. And then bouncing kind of obviously from Mensik and his huge week, to Rio, obviously another crazy week in the sense we had Alcaraz go down early. I think he was in the early in the first set, like the second game of the match, rolled his ankle, had to retire from that. So obviously that opened up that pool. We had Cam Nouri, who was the defending champion, look really good at times, but then get to that semifinals and, you know, just not look great. Just had a few, guys who are normally not in that position, but some clay specialists, a lot of guys from Argentina, a couple guys from Brazil, that young kid from Brazil that just had a huge week this week. So a real interesting tournament in Rio.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned Alcaraz going out with the ankle sprain. He did release a statement that said, it's a grade 2 ankle sprain. I'm very confident I'll be back to play the Netflix Slam and Indian Wells. The only thing I'm concerned about is I just want to make sure that he is healed before he actually plays these tournaments. The year hasn't been going the way that I think he expected it. And it's got to be hard for him to see all of the success that Jannik Sinner is having. So I think that I want to make sure him to make sure that he's not just going out to play these tournaments when he's not completely healed. Other than that, like you said about, the Rio tournament, like the Golden Swing right now, those local players just thrive. Those clay court specialists, players from Brazil, players from Argentina, they got the fans behind them. I think the outcome was really fitting for that tournament with Bias.
I think for most tennis fans, at least for me, like I didn't grow up around the game. I really didn't. Got into it late, started watching Wimbledon, was on ESPN maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and that's where, love and interest in tennis really came from. And at the start, the one thing that I could not grasp was the different surfaces and how different players are so much better on one than the other. It made no sense to me because as a, not growing up playing the game and not being, so I just new to it in the sense I'm like, okay, a tennis player should be good at tennis. How is one so much better on hard, not good on clay and whatnot? Like, it can't be that different. And then the more you start watching, the more you get into a completely different game. Completely, more athleticism, more power, more consistency on different, courts. And that is one of the biggest things where I think when people dive into tennis, especially if you're new to it, you don't understand at first because you're like, tennis is tennis, man. Like, what? It's tennis. You're doing the same thing, but it really is so different. It kind of just shows with Alcaraz going down, who's one of the most athletic guys on tour, just how different of a surface. And he's a great play player. It's not like something happened or he wasn't comfortable on it, just rolled his ankle. So it'll be real interesting. That's something that always gets me, and now being more in tune to the game makes sense. And then obviously leaving Rio and going over to Los Cabos, which honestly I thought Tsitsipas, that was my favorite going in because he had success there before, and I feel like he needed a big win. Because for whatever reason, I feel like he's starting to fall out more and more of like that chance, a few years ago where you're like, you know what, he could get a slam. I feel like it's not, he just can't beat the big players still. And that's the one thing I continue to see. And it's not like he played the biggest names here, played Casper Ruud, played some other good players. But it's just one of those things where, another guy came out of not nowhere, but Jordan Thompson, who's having a solid season, one of the first players won this single championship and won doubles in Los Cabos too.
He was in just top form the way that he played this tournament. Had a few really long matches, and then, like you said, won singles and doubles the same day. But I gotta say, he also won the semifinals and doubles match that same day. So it was three matches in one day, and he won all three of them. And that is not easy. He described it in one of his interviews as brutal. But when I think of him, I don't know. I think it's the Australian players, but I group him with Damon Nair. And when I think of the two of them, I think of just like peak fitness and physical form. The two of them are just so fit. And I think that, obviously Jordan really had to rely on how fit he was to get through such a grueling tournament. But how rewarding for him to win both the singles and doubles all on the same day. So exciting for him.
So like you said, those are two players with Jordan Thompson and Alex de Minaur, like in these bigger draws, like Indian Wells coming up, you don't want to see either of their names,
No.
as a higher seed, you don't want to see them absolutely early on in the draw. These are two guys that could get hot and really go on a deep run. De Minaur didn't have a great week in Los Cabos, but like you said, like just like Jordan Thompson this week, when they're up and running, some of them look spectacular. So, and it's crazy. He's actually hysterical on court too. Really funny. He was down against Mickelson. He lost, got bageled the first set, was down 4-1 in the second set. And he was just like talking, almost like how Andy Murray does, just like talking to himself on court, but saying the funniest. And he ended up, ended up winning that match against
Wait,
Mickelson.
what was he saying?
He was just like he's talking to himself, like literally like Andy Murray, like he's a madman. Like when shots aren't just hitting, like almost not as where Andy Murray's like, "You're an idiot, Andy," which I love. One of my first matches I saw live was Andy Murray, Indian Wells playing Jack Draper, and he's sitting there just berating himself on court, and it is the funniest thing. We had great seats, and the match was great, but listening to Andy Murray just go in on himself was the best part. Who won his 500, I think 500 match today, on
Wow.
hard court against the Canadian Shapovalov, if I might be saying that right, I think.
Yeah, you are.
So shout out to Andy Murray, but getting back to Jordan Thompson, great week. Like we said, not a guy going into Indian Wells you do not want to see. Came back against Mickelson, beat Zverev, beat Casper Ruud twice in the singles championship and then in the double. So how do you have to feel if you're Casper Ruud? Thompson right now is just, I guess, in the sense Casper's dad, but
Okay.
moving on. Instead of naming people's ex-fathers, here we go. To the women, Jasmine Paolini, huge tournament, huge tournament.
Well, you got to say she's your ace of the week, right?
Yeah, she's my ace of the week, absolutely. As we know, being an Italian, it's a some year for the Italians. Sinner, Paolini, I mean, we're feeling good. Once again, I'm not really doing anything to contribute to the Italians, but besides my last name being Pucciarelli. But, I mean, they're doing it. They're kicking ass. So I feel like my time's due. Something's going to happen big. I don't know. Like we said, I'm not top 1,000 in the world at anything. So I don't know what I'm going to be doing to be making big news, but something's going to be happening. I don't know. I'm making news somewhere. So shout out to Jasmine Paolini. Huge week, obviously. Huge win for her, that being a 1,000 level tournament. Beating Kalinskaya, who had a great week, obviously took down Iga, Swiatek, and just a great week. So big win for her. My ace of the week, absolutely.
What a huge win for her. You know, she had a huge comeback in the finals. And also, you know, taking advantage of this new kind of WTA format of 10 1,000 events. I mean, if you're going to win a title, like 250s, 500s are great, but a 1,000 is a huge deal. And for her to really capitalize on kind of the draw opening up early on and just fighting her way through it, and even in that finals when she was down, I think says a lot about her as a player. And I think we're going to see quite a bit, a lot of her in the future running deep in the draws for sure.
Yeah, and before I get into my double fault of the week, I feel like this would be a great time. Jasmine, I don't know if you're single, and I'm just, I feel like I'd be a great, you know, member.
Shooting a shot.
Shooting my shot. I have to. Mid-episode, have to. Jasmine, if you just need moral support, something to cook you dinner on the road, travel with you, I'd be a great partner slash companion, whatever you want to say. I have the Italian bloodline. Just hit me up, Instagram. We'll make it work. Now, my double fault of the week, obviously, we spoke about it a little bit, and it's not Carlos Alcaraz himself. It's just his 2024, you know, after his 2023 season, and it's still early, but I'm sure not only himself, but a lot of people start going a lot differently than it's been going so far. Just not the success I think we, at least myself, expected him to kick it right back into gear, which maybe is unrealistic. But he just seemed dominant at some points in 2023. Dom, where you just expected him not to lose a match. And he's starting to look more and more human. And it's, you're not discrediting him. But at the same time, you know, I think it's just not the way, you know, unfortunately, didn't have a great Australian Open, got hurt right now in Rio. So it's just not going the way he wants. So unfortunately, my double fault is called Alcaraz's 2024 season. Still a lot of time to make it up, but for right now.
You know, I've said it before. Carlos travels in like this pack of like eight men everywhere he goes. And, you know, I've seen him in multiple different places at tournaments, and it's like all coaches and physios and trainers and, you know, agents, all that. I really, you know, I got to hope, and I'm sure he is. He was, you know, number one in the world, but has a mental psychologist or sports psychologist on his team as well, because this cannot be easy for him. He's so young and he's used to just like being that guy in 2023 and winning every single match, like and barely, you know, having an upset. And now he's kind of going through, I don't even want to call it a slump, because he's still doing so well, but you know, not having the results that he had last year. I really do hope that he, you know, is keeping his mind right, knows that a lot of times, you know, this isn't something that is uncommon in the sport. You know, it's really, really hard to maintain that high level the entire year, or even the year after you have such a good year. So I hope that he is keeping his mind right, healing his ankle, and just, you know, continuing to work on what he needs to work on.
Yeah. And now, actually, I think this would be another great opportunity. I'm not shooting my shot, Carlos Alcaraz, but if you need a team member, you need somebody who just, you know, because I'm sure he's stressed up, stressing about some things. If you need somebody to shoot the shit with, you know, just relax, go out, night on the town, out in Ibiza, whatever, out in Spain, whatever you want to do. I'm a hell of a time. So if it's something you need to get your mind right, just go out, have a good time. I'll make sure. I might not get us home safe, but I'll try to get you home safe. I'll take
you. That's the last thing you need.
Shot my shot with Jasmine as a companion, and for Carlos, his like mind coach slash.
I don't know about that one.
I party with him, maybe. I don't know. But okay, moving on. Now Rachel's ace double fault. And if she has to shoot her shot with anybody, whether as a coach or a companion, you'll hear it here.
Right. I know. Maybe not on this on this episode, but maybe in a future one for sure. Okay, so my aces are going to two American legends. I'm gonna start with Andre Agassi. There is a rumor going on right now that he is potentially going to be the Laver Cup coach, which would be so exciting and so fun to have him back out there coaching. His last high profile coaching gig was with Dimitrov in 2020, and then a little bit of Novak Djokovic 2017, 2018. So I think it'll be so fun to see him back out there coaching. You know, he's always been really under the radar with Steffi. I feel like they've lived a very private life since their professional careers, you know, doing kind of great work in Vegas for the community. And just these last like year or two, we've really kind of seen them make more kind of public appearances, especially in the pickleball world. And we always want more of them, I feel like, at least I do. Andre's just, you know, I think one of the most interesting, fun, exciting players of all time. And so to see him be able to potentially coach at Laver Cup, I think would be really, really fun.
No, especially last year, obviously we had all the, not the mishaps, but just the way some people weren't understanding the Laver Cup. If it's serious, is it not serious? I think it'd be a great way once again, just to get it going, that fuel of making it competitive and whatnot. Great for the game. So I think it'd be really exciting.
Yeah. And then my other ace goes to other American legend, Andy Roddick. So he, you know, he's kind of been this like undercover consulting coach for some American players. And he's not like, you know, committed to a player full time, but players have recently, by way of Lindsay Davenport, been sent to him. For example, Coco Gauff has worked with him a little bit. Now Jessica Pegula, since her breakup with her coach, has been sent to him to work on her serve and such. And he's kind of the guy to go to for the serve. So I think it's really fun to see how he's been a secret weapon for these American players.
Yeah, and I think a lot of them, I don't want to say they need it, but it's beneficial. It's helpful. You know, it's one of those things, if he's willing to contribute, why not? You know, was one of the best in the game, obviously has great insight. And it's one of those things we're looking, and I think he's extremely passionate about an American player being that next number one, or being at least, you know, high in that top five, top two, top three player. So I think he's all in the sense and on American tennis and wants to make it happen.
Totally. And, okay. So for my double fault, a dying shot, a shot that's going extinct. It's kind of like the serve and volley. It's just on its way out, the one-handed backhand, and such a beautiful shot. You know, and for the first time since the ATP Tour rankings have been around, there is no one-handed backhand in the top 10. This has never happened. And with Tsitsipas out, with Dimitrov not entering into the top 10, there's not one player with one-handed backhand. And, you know, a lot goes into why that is. It's such a more powerful game. Players are getting more spin on their shots. They're just exposing that one-handed backhand. And, you know, equipment, even the rackets, the strings, like you're just getting so much spin on the shot, but that one-handed backhand is a dying breed. And it's really sad because it is beautiful, but, I think it's on its way out. And, you know, I've heard Federer and Henman say, I would not teach the one-handed backhand anymore. I wouldn't. It's just not a shot that you would teach on tour. The game is evolving. The modern game is more powerful and physical rather than finesse. So sad, sad, sad story for that one-handed backhand.
No, honestly, it's tough to see because, like you said, it's such a beautiful stroke. I mean, it's almost like a nice baseball swing. It's like Ken Griffey Jr., that baseball swing. It just looks pretty. But obviously, we're getting to a point, like you said, nobody in the top 10 with a one-handed backhand. It's just proving not to be successful right now. And that's obviously, there's some great players that do it. Like you said, the game's evolving. It's changing. So I think either, I don't know if it's too late for them to adjust, but I think at least people coming up, it's going to look less enticing to use it, or, you know, have it be your go-to shot in a sense, which is tough. We just spoke about it. It's like that really hot X. It's just like, you guys broke up for a reason. You know, it's not going to work. You kind of want to go back, because it looks really pretty, but you just know it's never going to happen. So it'll still be around. Some people will go back to it. But like we said, long-term, I don't think we're going to see anybody in the, you know, top five, one, two with a one-handed backhand.
Yeah, actually, Andy Roddick compared it to, he said, A hot cowboy on a horse, like going off into the distance. That is the one-handed backhand shot, just
so we weren't
riding away to the
our
sunset.
Comparisons, me and Andy Brown, wasn't that far off. I didn't even think that was coming out of my mouth, but we were not that far off.
Maybe you should start consulting for American players.
Shooting my third shot of the show. American tennis players, if you need a consultant, I am here.
No.
Once again, you know, the back end. And if you want to go out of the night on the town, whatever, I will help you relax.
I think that's one that that's your best shot.
That's about all I can offer. That's about it. And that's all for our episode this week, guys. Another week of Overserved. Another great week of tennis. A lot of top storylines to be played. Obviously, going forward, we have Indian Wells coming up. Just a lot of big-time storylines. A lot of great tennis. So we'll be back next week with another episode of Overserved.
Thank you guys for watching. See you next week.
See you next week.